Cake Companion. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are your hosts. We are a podcast made for fans of K-dramas and K-pop, and each week we talk about what we're watching, listening to, and simply obsessing over. We've watched over 100 K-dramas, so we'll tell you what we think you should watch next, and we'll have some random ramblings about all the things in between. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, or formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok at @KCompanionPod for even more updates and content on what we are keeping up with. So what do we have going on today?
So today we are reviewing Tomorrow by Together's concert documentary, Our Lost Summer, on Disney Plus.
Nice. And so today we'll just share our overall reactions and takeaways. If you don't want any spoilers, here's your warning. If you don't care about spoilers, let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
So just to kind of set the stage, what is Our Lost Summer about?
So Tomorrow by Together are back post-pandemic and are ready to embark on their first world tour from Seoul to North America. The band's nerves and excitement are kicking in, but they have challenged themselves to give the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when TXT was starting back in
2019,
they were just starting to take off, and then the pandemic hit. And, like, the pandemic obviously was hard for everybody.
Yeah.
And it was very hard for BTS,
yeah.
Right? But it was also very hard for this new group,
right.
TXT, to try and continue the momentum. And so they were going from doing only online concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we all remember that, where they're like, oh, it'll be free to watch online, right? And they're just playing to a room of chairs with their light sticks stuck to them. And it's really quiet and
very
horrible.
Very awkward. Not your usual concert-going experience.
No. And, I mean, for an online watcher, like, we've streamed concerts. Like, we streamed one BTS concert.
Yep.
But we've streamed other concerts before. And you do hear the crowd a little. But then when there is no crowd, there's nothing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely different. And so we see them kind of go from doing online concerts to then now with a live audience and then performing at Lollapalooza, which J-Hope, if you watched J-Hope in the Box, that was that documentary. This is like the crossover
right.
We never knew we needed. So yeah, so I think that that was also something that was interesting to watch within this, is to hear all their reactions and just get a sense for how much time they spent in the studio because they couldn't do live performances.
Right.
Insane.
When you talk about live streaming, I actually watched day one of Seoul, this tour, live streamed, which international fans know. It's like a 3-4 a.m. get up, watch the live stream. But so yeah, it was nice to see their kind of full journey with this concert. Because it's an undertaking. It's what, 24 songs?
Ooh,
all at once, pretty much.
Yeah, they had like 11 songs
in a row,
which is insane, because usually it's like, you know, you do several songs and then you take a little break.
They'll have some sort of like pre-recorded
thing
in between
or something, but then they're just, when that's going on, they're just running for the next thing. So definitely insane. And I thought it was interesting that at Lollapalooza they didn't get a sound check.
Talk about nerve-wracking, especially for an outdoor venue. Like, I don't know how that works. I mean, I know Lollapalooza is this kind of ongoing festival that happens throughout that weekend.
In Chicago,
But I'm not sure, like, how you successfully do a sound check when you're like, oh, are they actually performing or is this the sound check?
Well, it's also like, there are so many performers, they're moving in and out, right? And so to not even have time for a sound check, like, every other performer probably got one.
Yeah.
J-Hope definitely got one.
Yeah.
We know that. So just interesting that they, like, didn't have time. And they still crushed it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They absolutely, it was insane. It was interesting to hear that they were worried they would ruin the vibe. And I was like, J-Hope is headlining. You know that, right? Like, the vibe is there.
Is not going to be new to, I mean, it'll be new to a lot of people, but not the entire audience. It's not like you're going to a cold room.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. And they're also not the only performer.
Right.
So, perfect.
Right.
Already, we've said that the show, the concert itself, is a undertaking, but as with any time we see these, like, behind the scenes of concerts, it's so hard to, like, I don't know, I obviously, going in, and having seen BTS and their behind the scenes of things, I already have a great respect for how hard it is on their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like insane, those dances and keeping up, and that's what they train for, obviously.
Constantly traveling as well, other and elements.
Remember, I think it was this tour where, remember there were things going on in the Twitter space and online of TXT is, they're literal time travelers because right. they're jumping from time zone to time zone, and how are they pulling this
there
off?
There was a lot of concern for their health, for sure. Yeah.
And one member was quite sick for a couple of stops.
I remember when that was happening because there would be clips all over social media and be like, he doesn't look okay. Like, they had to, he actually had to tell the staff he had to leave that interview. And and you see that in this as well. So it's just, it is so daunting and so hard on both mental and physical because, you know, they also, while they prep for everything and they talk about it too, how you can practice your heart's content to get it perfect in the studio, but when it's a live performance, you can't really rely on that because it's going to feel different and be different. And the amount of pressure where you want to give your best for your fans is so prevalent and very very much there.
And I thought it was interesting too because we've watched, you know, I don't know, we've watched a couple behind the scenes type videos, whether it's just a vlog or whatever, for different K-pop groups. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was interesting that they, you know, very clearly say, oh, we don't like to show how we talk to each other in front of the cameras, because I do think groups like, I don't know, it was, it reminded me similar to the dynamic of Stray Kids, right? Yeah. Where Christopher Bangchan would, like, give a look, and you're like, oop, that's a conversation for off camera. Yeah. And so, like, that reminded me of that. And so there are different dynamics within certain K-pop groups. And so it was just interesting to hear how they very quickly were like, oh, like, I wanted to tell him I hope he's all right, right? Because he's sick. And but there were cameras around, and so I knew that. And so it's interesting that they do.
And there is that separation, which I think you need.
Safety. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to have something for yourself, right? And so having those off-camera connections is just as important. And they are so focused on their fans, which is great. I mean, I think they even say, like, oh, we're hopeful that our fans will be there. Because you start in 2019.
Right.
You have basically 2020, almost half or all of 2021 away.
Right.
And then you're trying to come back in 2022. And so that is so tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, especially anytime, like, obviously you have the one member who is not feeling his best, and you can tell, like, you can see it in the body language of the other members that they're trying to not only make up for the space that he's left behind in those moments on stage where he's not there, but also just in the mentality of, like, oh my gosh, like, is he okay? There's a lot of worry there.
Yeah, and so, and also in the crowd, I mean, when you see only four members go out, right? Yeah. Like that. And the crowd's like,
what is going on?
Where's my bias, right? Like, who knows, right? And so that is definitely
jarring for sure. And it reminded me, because, I mean, we've seen some behind the scenes clips. I remember watching the behind the scenes docuseries for the Wings tour, Burn the Stage, with BTS. Mm-hmm. And when JK was, when they were in Chile.
Oh gosh.
And there was like something about the elevation. He was not feeling great at all. And so he's like practically collapsing out.
Yeah,
it was terrifying to watch. And it also just, it's another example of them just wanting to give the best performance they can.
Yeah. And just like with other, I don't know, videos and interviews that we've seen, is just they're very reflective. Mm-hmm. And TXT is just great because they're just like, we're in it for the ride and we're going. And
right.
So, you know, because sometimes we hear members say, oh, I'm just looking forward to the next thing, or oh, I'm trying to work on the next thing. And these guys were very much like, we're here and we're doing it and we're taking our time doing it. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to try to make the best it can. One thing that I loved was when one member said, oh, Subin struggled with that part in Wishlist. And he's like, what? And so they are so well tuned in to each other, but also I think they are trying to help each other become the best version of themselves.
Right.
So it's a really interesting and different dynamic than we've seen in other K-pop groups.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was nice to be able to watch them and kind of get to know them a little. Because I do think, because we missed out on a year or so of content from them. I do think we haven't had those lives, right. Like the Weverse.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those things where we were able to really see other groups have that foundation and get to know each member. So it was nice to just get to know who they are a little and, bit and how they react.
Get a little taste of their personality because obviously, you know, while they're all in the same group, they all bring something different to the table.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was really sweet. And gotta love the crossover of having J-Hope and Jimin go to their trailer right before and they're like, we're really nervous.
Yeah. So sweet.
It was great.
And yeah, that was great. And this is also after we've watched J-Hope in the box. And that was really nice to see because it wasn't just focused on Lollapalooza. Like J-Hope in the Box, that documentary definitely is, which is great because he was a headliner and that's perfect.
Right.
And TXT actually headlined Lollapalooza this year.
Yep.
So crazy. Yeah.
Nuts.
Crazy. So hopefully we get another documentary.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, and so I do think that it was nice to see them kind of talk about their lost summer, right? Because they lost the summer.
It was like 3 years in between when they were in, like, they showed clips back when they were first debuting.
Oh my gosh, in 2017.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was just, the dramatic difference is definitely there. And you can tell they put in the work. And
yeah. So overall, I thought it was great. It was a great documentary. It was similar to other documentaries we've seen, like J-Hope in the Box. But it was also just really fun to watch. Like this it definitely had more of a young type of structure, whereas J-Hope's was like, this is the documentary and it's very serious and like, this is the timeline.
For J-Hope's and for Suga's D-Day, for both of those had more of a performative quality to them where they would take moments where you would see parts of the song played out or parts from Lollapalooza. This was more, you would get glimpses at different, like, you know, stages.
Performances, yeah. If you have Disney Plus and you want to check it out, highly recommend checking out TXT's concert documentary, Our Lost Summer, on Disney Plus. What is up for news?
Oh my gosh, well, quick news. So we have KCON in LA happened over the past couple of weeks. I'm sure everyone else...
We didn't get to go.
We didn't go.
Spoiler just, alert.
Yeah, not for nothing. Didn't go, but hope everyone had the most fun time. I think my social media was inundated with clips from Taemin as well as Stray Kids. It looked like it was a lot of fun. Speaking of Stray Kids teased a collaboration with Lisa for a song called Social Path.
We're not talking Lisa from Blackpink.
No, this is Lisa. Lisa is a Japanese artist. She has more claim to fame in regards to anime theme songs. So for shows like Sword Art Online, Demon Slayer, Fate Zero, just to name a few. So yeah, so it'll be a fun collaboration. I'm sure they'll be kind of mixing and matching Japanese and Korean. So that's to come on September 6th or 7th, which is great. And also, speaking of Stray Kids, they are in the lineup to perform for MTV's Video Music Awards on September 12th. So they joined BTS and Blackpink as the only K-pop acts to perform on the VMAs, and they are the first fourth generation K-pop artist to do so, which is exciting. For those that don't know, in K-pop there are currently four generations to mark when groups debuted. These generations are all different from each other due to eras and style of music that was popular when they debuted. The fourth generation refers to any K-pop group that debuted during or after 2018.
Generation.
Yeah.
That is where we enter 2018.
And so the third, if you think third generation is from, you know, 2012 to 2017, you would be more in line with like BTS, EXO, those groups in that. So yeah, they're nominees and they're up for best K-pop alongside aespa, Blackpink, 50/50, TXT, and Seventeen. For those that are stateside, you can actually vote on which ones are your favorites on their website. So I'm sure there are many MOAs and Blinks and Carrots and Stays that are voting like crazy from now until, like I said, September 12th. So that's exciting.
Fun. Yeah. And our music pick of the week, right? Which we do every week. But this one's special because we're talking about TXT today.
We have to have a TXT rec.
Have to pick it.
Yeah.
So we chose New Rules as our music pick of the week.
Throwing it back a little bit.
Throwing it back just a little.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah.
Not too far back.
But it's still a bop. And I think when we were watching that documentary and the clips that we would see of their performances, I'm like, ah, what a bop.
Yeah,
I mean, just so
good. Oh, and this
good.
Song. And this song.
And, right. And, oh, gosh. Wonderful. So that is our music pick of the week. And We are still watching K-dramas.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think we've strayed away, right? Because we've gone to this documentary for a minute, but...
So what are you currently watching? What's going on?
Well, as everyone can guess, I am still watching Hotel Del Luna. I am still not done with episode 6, okay?
That's okay.
We're almost there. Thing is it's summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hotel Del Luna is wonderful, but it's also very dark.
Yes.
And so I want to watch it at night, and I get tired at night, and so...
It doesn't make for the most...
It's not very conducive to actually making progress. But I will be starting Extraordinary You on Viki.
Yay!
So that'll be a good summer show. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit more upbeat in terms of just making that progress and enjoying.
Yes. Yes, and I am enjoying Hotel Del Luna. Nothing against it, but I've been on it for a minute now. So it's great. It's been all summer.
Those longer episodes are always harder to navigate and getting into time
and
routine.
Also when I just want to spend time outside during the day and then I come home and then it's nighttime and I'm like, great, I can watch, and then I like fall asleep.
Yeah.
So you have a lot going on, but they're all kind of wrapping up soon.
Well, yeah, so firstly, I said I was gonna, you know, savor Youth of May. I have an episode and a half left.
Oh, beautiful.
Crushing
it.
That is ending right quick, probably right after this. And then Uncanny Counter 2. High praise, claps all around.
Yes.
It is so good. And they are finishing up this coming weekend, so I'm not looking forward to them ending. It's been such a good run. My Lovely Liar is also coming to an end. And I did watch episodes 3 and 4 of Mask Girl.
Oh, left Mask Girl in the wind I didn't appreciate it.
Anyways, understandably.
Tell me, is it worth... So how many episodes are there?
7.
7. And now you've watched through 4.
Yeah.
So you only have a couple left.
I only have 3 left. I will be finishing it.
Okay.
But caveat, I will be finishing at 1.5. I'm interested in what happens. I'm not necessarily interested for the time that it's going to take. But in watching episode 3, there were a lot of actors in there where I kind of laughed because they are also currently in Uncanny Counter 2.
I know.
So there was a little bit of that crossover. It was fun to see them do that. And it is getting more intriguing and less, like, kind of gross
Dang it.
I can't attest for the rest of it. Obviously, maybe there's more coming down the pipeline, but
you're going to finish it.
I will finish it. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, more power to you.
I will have finished, like, 4 in the next 2 weeks.
Good Lord. And this whole summer, I'm like, I'm working on 1.
Hey.
I'm just slacking.
It's
okay.
All good.
Extraordinary You will
It'll get you right back.
It'll get me back. Yeah. And then I'll continue Hotel Del Luna when, I don't know, when it's nighttime and I have time. Great. Well, I think that's all we have for today. There's a lot going on. There's more coming up. We'll continue to do similar reviews and we'll keep you all updated on what we're trying to keep up with.
Yeah.
So that's all we have for today. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok to keep up with all the things that we have going on. Have a great day, night, and week. We'll catch you next week.